Welcome to the Planning Board meeting, June 18th, 2025. The time is 6:30 PM.
Okay, I would like to call the, what's today's date? The June 18th meeting of the Candia Planning Board to order. Please rise, face the flag, and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. So, Judy.
Here.
Here. Mark is excused. He did call me. Tim, here. Brian is absent. Dave.
Here.
Linda.
Here.
And Kevin.
Here.
Okay. So, there we go. So, first one up on the agenda under new business is applicant is an informational hearing, and the applicant is Eric York of 433 High Street, Candia, New Hampshire. Property location 433 High Street, Candia, New Hampshire. Construction of a modular house on a separate lot short of frontage for subdivision.
And as a note, that is lot 405-75.
That's not on here, is it?
No.
Okay.
Say that again.
405-75.
Thank you. Good one.
Why?
Yeah, I didn't see that. I'm assuming that is you.
No, it's not. It's not me.
Okay.
But I'm the father, and I'm the joint owner of the property. And Eric is—he just arrived, I think. I was asked to bring the plot plan to show you where we want to put it. I'm the one that wants to put the modular home there. I own a home in Northampton I'm selling, and I want to put the modular home there. And we're 85 feet short of frontage. And so I'm asking for a variance to...
So is it an existing lot as it sits, or are you looking to subdivide off from another lot?
No, there's... Well, there's only the major... I can show you...
9.038 acres.
Yeah,
it's just the one lot,
see,
right?
So this is the... Just, let's turn it around.
Yeah, it's almost 20 acres. The house sits far back, and we're planning on doing something around
right here.
Right here,
right at the end of the rock wall, and right in this area, right here.
There is a current house on the site.
Yes, right here.
Right there.
In the.
And this is High Street.
So the existing.
So you'd be wanting to do a subdivision.
Yeah.
On High Street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not going to work for you.
What do you mean by a subdivision exactly?
You want a separate lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for a variance on the frontage. That's the only issue.
But then the house doesn't have frontage.
Sorry?
Then the house would have no frontage. Right?
Your house, the existing house, doesn't have
frontage.
This one?
So, yeah, it's going to come off the driveway. There's no, in other words, there's not going to be a separate...
Yeah, so it's up. Literally, it would be like putting an entrance here
let me
to
ask
the house.
Let me ask you a question. How big a house are you looking at putting in?
Yeah, it's 1,300 and some odd feet.
Okay, well, that's not what we
square
want.
Feet.
That's not an answer I wanted to hear.
No, you wanted it to be 800 and some odd square feet.
Yeah.
Is it 850 or 9?
850. I thought it was 850. This board cannot do that.
Right.
We cannot create a non-conforming lot. And you need 200 feet per lot. Right? Now, your other option, which would be ridiculously expensive, would be to put a town spec road in and then have the driveways come off this town spec road. But that would be...
$500 a foot.
Okay,
right. So if you put it... You know, did a subdivision, put a town spec road in, and then had the two lots.
They'd both have to have 200 feet on that road.
Right.
What it comes
so
down
they'd
to.
Both have yeah. to have 200 feet on the
or
road.
If you put a. On the younger version. if
and the better looking version, I might add.
Hey! Wow. I resemble that remark.
I wish we had other board members here, but if you put a short town spec road in with a large circle that would give you a circumference that gave you 400 feet
correct
of frontage on the circle, you could then have two driveways off of that circle that could be used.
Correct.
I believe.
That's correct.
What Ronnie kind of
yeah
had been, talked to us about.
I mean,
catch up.
Sorry, I had a doctor's appointment right before this.
So, unfortunately, we can't give the waiver for frontage. We can't create a non-conforming lot.
Okay.
So it has to have 400. There has to be 400 square feet feet of frontage, whether it's on the main road or off a main spec road. Town spec driveway type of thing. That'd be the only ways to do it.
What's a town spec driveway?
It's about $500 a foot, I guess.
A town quality road of the right width to meet town specs. At our last...
It's $2 million a mile.
Yeah.
So what's that equal
to? We came to a conclusion that...
Divided by 5,280.
Yeah, but I'm not doing the math in my head. Sorry.
It's okay.
So if you had to have 400 feet of town spec circle,
you'd have to come in, you probably have to come in 300 feet and then maybe get 100 foot of the circle.
Right, so that would be
150,
just for the circle.
And what's the reason for that? I mean, shit, I got 20 acres, you're just trying to put a house on four in front.
I mean, it just seems
absolutely nuts to do all that.
But our regulations are you have to have 200 feet of footage frontage on a regular town road.
Yeah.
That's where we start.
And it's like I understand exactly where you're coming from.
We are the choir.
And we all vote
to change the rules, right?
Yeah, and we don't have the authority to give variances for that.
So right? The ZBA does?
I don't know. That's a question we could ask Judith if this is something that you come to her with.
Rules are put in by people. Who's the person who can say yes when everybody else says no?
The ZBA is the only one that can make exceptions to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But their hands are tied on some things, too, as to what they can do. Okay, but that could be a phone call or whatever with Judith Zott, who's the ZBA chair. Again, the one option, and I know it's less square footage than Dad wants, but you can do
an ADU.
An ADU. Yeah. Now, one of the things you can do with an ADU, if you want to play little silly games here, you can do an 850-foot ADU, attach it to the house, and maybe have a door that Dad can have a...
Or you give an 800-square-foot ADU with a basement. It's 800 square feet.
Correct. Well, the whole point is to, he's 80, is to get not do stairs,
I understand. We're just trying to give you...
But that has to be attached to the house?
No, it does not. It can be detached.
Okay.
Yeah, but
you can have a full basement that can be finished.
Okay.
Yeah, but the other problem is it's got to be within 100 feet of the main residence, right? And if you look at this...
Yep.
Sorry?
That's the way it's respect, yes.
Yeah, well, but if you look at this, you got a garage. So would that mean it's got to be... It's a detached garage, so it's got to be 100 feet from the garage?
It's got to be within 100 feet of
the residence.
Of the residence. So here's a question. If you wanted to get two ADUs and bolt them together, is that legal?
I thought that's what he was going to say when he said the basement. I thought he was going to say do an ADU and then do something.
You can only do one detached.
Right.
Right, okay.
And one attached.
One would be detached to the other one.
I like how you think. So.
Yeah.
But I mean, you created the Chinese finger trap here.
Yeah.
The ZBA, that's in the zoning ordinances, but that is something you could approach the ZBA with and see if they would waive the 100 feet and make it 125 feet. How far away do you need it to be?
Well, the problem is if you have to put it on top of the garage.
Where the garage lands. Like, the garage is completely separate. Like, there's a huge gap here. So then the house would have to be here.
Oh, geez. Yeah. All
right. You get what I'm saying? Like, they're completely separate. That's it's a 3-car space here and then some.
It's 120 feet.
Can they do you know the answer to this better than I. Can they do an informational with ZBA, or do they have to do an application?
Yeah, they don't. ZBA doesn't do informationals, but I'm always able to call Judith and ask her a bunch of questions, and so it could be like an over the phone informational for me.
Gotcha.
I could always do that. Yeah.
Because and again, I don't know. I don't know the rules they play by, so we can't.
Yeah.
You know, but certainly if there's a hardship, there might be something. You know, if it's just not possible.
Yeah, I'll be a homeless veteran. That's a hardship.
There you go. You just play what you got, man.
Yeah, that's not good for the papers.
Yeah.
Again, we, you know.
Unfortunately, we are handcuffed by certain rules that were put in place because the town didn't like variances being issued by boards such as ours.
And there are two books by which we live, right? There are the zoning ordinances and then the subdivision regulations. This board cannot vary at all, which is what everything you're dealing with here is in that book.
It's a variance.
Yeah. This one we can waive some of the things in here, but none of what you're doing is in this book.
So across the street from us, there's 100 and something acres, and they're going to put over 55 community, and they get a whole shit ton of variances because they put it in a very tight space. So do I just got to make him an over 55 community on my front lawn?
No, there are different. Well, they're still. I don't know which one you're living across from, but they are. They still have to meet that number of square, you know, acreage and the like.
Yeah.
But they just have it out back, and like if you're talking about the one that's
farm.
Being proposed, the
mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I got MS. My brain's off screen.
So. Yeah. So there's going to be, from what I understand, we have not officially seen the plans yet.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So, but from what I understand, you know, third party, there's going to be a whole boatload of open land out back because they're still keeping the number of houses within the 3-acre zoning.
Okay.
And the 55 plus allows for cluster housing that way because you don't want the old people, you know, people not like your dad, people who can't get around.
Yeah. I'm doing worse than him. So.
But they're also building a town spec road.
They're building a town spec road,
so,
correct.
Gotcha. It's a major subdivision.
So the only other question I have is right next to my driveway is Highland. Can we buy 20 feet from them and change us from High Street to Highland and pull off of that? Because my entire property goes down past the length of Highland.
So, yeah, pull that back up again. We didn't even think about that.
This is Highland, right here.
Okay, so your boundary is on Highland.
Yeah. There's a little bit of trees.
I got 20 feet before I get to Highland. So that's a town stretch road.
So literally, if you could get property there, you might be able to pull that off, right?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
So you said 20 feet. I thought I thought it was 315. So you're...
315, so what?
Your frontage right now. Is it more than that?
On High Street, it's 315. What I'm saying is I'd have to buy 20 feet
I see.
From my rock wall to Highland to be on Highland Street, Ave, Road, whatever
it
is.
Yeah.
Then you could break off 3 acres onto that development if you could. I don't know if that's. I think that's probably cutting into something that...
Is that a town road? I don't know.
That's a private road, but you've got
300
foot. You've
got
15 houses down there that are obviously,
and you got lots of frontage on this side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like 800 and something yards of property.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you can get that road frontage there,
and then change both addresses to Highland, and they get more money for their PUD.
See how we, you know, then you have to play the jigsaw game as to how you get the subdivision in the access.
I'm just
looking
to try to get out of the Chinese finger trap without putting in a huge damn road for no reason
You gotta get 200 feet of road frontage per lot.
Right.
Right? So if you got, what do we got here, 300 and something?
315.
Mm-hmm. 315?
Yeah.
Right? So you take 200 off, that gives you 115. So if you got
85 feet
of road frontage here,
we can do that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be on the same road.
Right. Things like lot line adjustments, we are in our purview to
right.
do.
We can do lot line adjustments.
Explain that.
So if you move a lot line, we can do that. So, like, let's just say...
But they would have to be willing to sell that?
Right.
Is that
so
what that means?
So if the owner of this property says, yes, you know, you can buy that piece of property, then you would come to this board, and we would adjust your lot line from here to here.
Okay.
Right, there's a $75 cost or something like that. And
that's better than $1 million road.
Yeah, and it's pretty much an administrative process, right? Because unless anybody complains, we don't.
Because I mow that for them anyway.
Yeah.
Oh,
eminent domain, baby. How long have you been doing that?
9 years.
Yeah. Ooh, I think you got another year to go.
Shit.
So the setback doesn't matter, though. I mean, because that's obviously been there for a long time. So it's
yeah, his setback doesn't matter. That's out of our...
Right, but it would be... Well,
but he's but dad would still have to worry about setbacks, right?
Right.
Yeah, but it's but you're saying if I'm short 85 feet over here and I can get 85 feet over there, I'm good.
As long as you got 200 feet of road running.
Yeah.
As long as it's setback too.
Okay.
Yeah, right. There's some setbacks from like from the road
from each
side.
Yes.
Like 50.
I'm giving.
Oh, that's
acres.
Like 3 acres.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can't put it right next.
Believe me, we're not.
Yeah.
So. We enjoy the natural wall that's there.
Right. So, and if you want to know what those setbacks are in your planning stuff, just go to the town website and there's the zoning ordinances are right there online. You can pull them up. It'll tell you all the setbacks, road frontage, all that stuff you need.
So. Last question, do I have to purchase that land from them, or can they just give me an easement to use?
It would need to be part of the lot.
Okay.
Yes, ownership, I believe.
Yeah,
it's the lot.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
because it would be a structure on it.
Right.
Easement, there's no structures.
Yeah, but easement's just the ability
right
to go across
right
the
yeah,
property.
Yeah,
it would be the ability. But
you wouldn't
have
the 200 feet.
The lot has to have 200 feet of road frontage.
Okay. All right, cool. Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks for your help.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Anytime.
Wish it was an easier answer.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just trying to get out of a Chinese finger trap.
No, and every time you guys answered a question, it was not the right answer.
What was the right answer?
Well, the right answer was 850 square feet.
You have to get a smaller house.
So that's the alternative. If the road fails, the alternative is a smaller house.
Yep.
Correct.
And then you can attach to it later on, or no?
No. There's a whole bunch of rules.
So, but basically, it's going to be 850 square feet or less.
Yeah.
Above ground.
Above ground.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you can finish a basement.
Yep.
Right? It has to be within 100 feet. Whether that's variance or not, I don't know.
Yeah
that's,
okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Have a good night.
Good night.
You too.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I hate hearing bad news.
I know, especially for something like that. It's
right.
Like you want to help,
narrow,
but
right. You got 20 acres.
Yep, long.
But
yeah. You haven't got enough room.
Right? Just the way it is. Okay, next up, new business applicant. Under One Roof Construction, 409 Raymond Road, Candy, New Hampshire.
Hello. How are we doing, folks?
Good.
Hold on, I got to read this.
Oh, go ahead.
Property. Five Square, property owner, Five Square Development, 126 Forest Drive, Auburn, New Hampshire. Property location, Deer Run Road, Candy, New Hampshire. Map 408-3-2-21, looks 21A. Intent to discuss excavation parcel on that lot.
It's actually 408-30-21A. I think you said 3.
Dash 30, oh, yeah. Okay,
good. I like that.
And it's actually S squared development.
S
squared. Hi, I'm John O'Neill.
Oh,
with,
S squared.
Not up S squared. I'm a consulting environmental and professional engineer and licensed land surveyor. I'm a good friend with Steve April and part of S squared. And this is his nephew, Stevie Willis, who is a contractor. I specialize in gravel removal. And if there were any questions, I just want to make sure I'm available for everybody. But I've done six to eight gravel pits over 30 years. Some of them last very long, and many, many site plans. But Steve knows what he wants here, and I think he can explain everything.
Let's just set the table, too, that everybody knows this is the lot that was approved as Rusty Rex
right next to the transfer station.
Correct.
Transfer station.
Okay.
Right.
I come and met you folks.
And Scott was on board. We talked about what you could do with the property, like even solar or something.
Or material science. Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't condos.
Right.
So, you know, since it's been sold, okay, and they started to excavate the property, right, and we're actually, you know, removing some material, and they were served with a cease and desist order to stop that process. I think on Monday, I wasn't around, or last week or something.
I got the notice here.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter that much. Okay?
Yeah, no.
But that's
612.
That's why we're here, because they then wanted an informational hearing.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, I just want to say first off that it was ill-advised to call the vice chairman of this board simple-minded. And I hope you regret that, okay?
So, that was never stated. So, where did that come from, first of all?
Okay. It came from your discussion with him when he served the cease and desist order. Now, I don't know if that was you that said it or not.
Yeah, no.
But somebody said that to him, and that was ill-advised. But anyway, as I looked at this, and I'm unfamiliar with our earth extraction regulations. I had never actually looked at them because we've never had this issue before. But I spent, you know, like 20 minutes, half an hour. And so we'll talk about this part of it first, the cease and desist order, and then we can talk about where we're going from here, okay? Because we're going forward.
Gotcha. So, well, I'll take a seat then, right?
Yeah.
Or just bring a chair up.
Okay, cool.
Pull a chair up, yeah. So in our regulations, definition of commercial extraction, there's a bunch of things, but then it says any material leaving the property for whatsoever reason is considered to be a commercial operation, okay, which requires an extraction permit from us. So if one ever comes before us, we're going to have to read the regulations. The following projects are deemed to be exempt from requiring a permit. And number one states, excavation of earth that is direct consequence or is exclusively incidental to the lawful construction or alteration of a building or structure or parking lot or way, including a driveway on a portion of the premises where removal occurs. This excavation cannot be started, however, until all required state, local, and building permits have been issued. And we don't have a building permit, and we don't have an excavation permit. So that's kind of where we ended up with the cease and desist order, because there was, by definition, a commercial excavation in process, and there was no building or excavation permit to cover.
Could I address something? You're right on. There's something that had to happen paperwork-wise, and if it is a building is ready to be pulled, then that would cover it. Or if an excavation permit is required, and I think Steve could explain what he is doing with the material and how his operation works, and it might be more appropriate to go towards the excavation as opposed to a building at this time. The building isn't ready to go in because it's a big hill.
Right.
And it needs to come down. So it's up to the board, really, how you
But the other thing on a building permit, right, just so you're aware, the only thing that can be built currently on that site is the plan as approved.
Correct.
With the conditions of approval.
Absolutely.
Correct. Yeah. So can I, so I'll back it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I live in town. This is my third parcel in town. It's across from my future business. So the land made sense. I had actually come to an informational a while ago when Dylan works on all my equipment. I have excavators. You know, he really wanted us to buy it. So my uncle, Steve, I'm Steve, S Square Development, right? We own some land in Deerfield. We're going to be building some houses. So the deal finally made economic sense for us to do it. I do work. I am a general contractor. I've worked in town. I've built additions. I've worked for the road agent, worked at his house. I came down, when I acquired this property, I talked to Amy, told her I was going to be buying it. I said, but I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to be able to do the building, right? Because I'm funding, you know, I'm a young guy still. I got young kids, right? But I enjoy building. I enjoy doing what I do. So it was actually, and I thought it was Bob. It wasn't Bob. I came into the window. It was Will's first day, okay, where I'd actually pulled up an electrical permit to upgrade my underground service at 409 Raymond Road. And Jeff was right there. I said, hey, Jeff, Will's first day, met him. I'm going to be starting over at Deer Run. I'm going to be just excavating it out to get rid of some of the material, to get a landing zone, to get in. I mean, the grade of it, I couldn't get in there. So I did that, trying to be ahead of the curve. They know me here. Jeff's like, you know what, Steve, I don't think you need an excavation permit to do it. Will's first day. So here I am, what I thought, like being proactive. I went over to the dump because I knew that the previous owner had had issues with the manager there.
Chuck.
Thank you. So I went and talked to Chuck. Hey, listen, what can I do? What times do you want me out of your way? I put my sweeper there. At the end of each day, we swept the road. I actually have a horse farm across the street. I brought hay bales. I have wood chips from logging across the street. We did the Christmas trees over 409. So I did every best practice for erosion control to try to, you know, stay in good standings with the town. So to back it up, to just to kind of to touch base on that, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of what happened here. So when this came about, I had asked some questions in person that I feel like, you know, as a taxpayer, a member of town, I was entitled to ask and have clarity. That interaction didn't go great. I was actually discouraged about it, to be quite honest, to where I drove here to speak with Amy directly after. I felt insulted when I left it, you know, and I didn't have clarity, meaning I asked for the articles, I asked for the RSA, and none of them could be stated outside of I'm out of compliance and I got to come back in July. And it was just very rigid. So, as I said, I came down here, I got clarity from Amy, and right, shame on me for not reading. There was a conditional approval here. The surety bond wasn't in place. I had no idea about it. My expectations, and clearly they were wrong, was that when I went to the building department window and spoke with the road agent, that if there was anything I had to have in place before I put my excavator next door, I would have done it then. You know, I'm a reputable builder, a reputable contractor, and I try to do best practices. So there was a communication breakdown somewhere. To fast forward a little while, as we were starting to excavate this, because this didn't happen in one day, okay? A couple days here and there to support some home builds and fill and really just keep my guys busy in the lulls, right? Because I employ guys year round. There was a call, and this was told me from Jeffrey. I know he's not here tonight, that I believe was Mr. Brock, who had called Jeffrey and said, hey, I guess we got some concerns around erosion control over there. Do you mind taking a ride over to check it out? And I know he's not here to attest to it, but Jeffrey said he did. He looked at what I had done, wood chips, so on and so forth, and no news was good news. So that was a week prior to this. So really, that's why we're here.
Yeah. And we're looking forward from here, okay? Because I, you know, I was out all last week. I was on vacation all last week.
Gotcha.
So I don't know anything that happened that week. I came back to
this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not. If you couldn't tell from the actions of this board, we, you know, whether we agree with the rules or not, we have to play by them. And we're going to be, you know, we try to be reasonable. So, so there we go. Right.
Understood.
So I guess my take is, I don't necessarily know all it's involved. There is an excavation application online.
So let me proceed.
If that's the way you want to go.
Yeah, right? So I think that's going to be best, right? Because the reality is that I'm self-funding this. You know, he's helped me out, become partners on some of this stuff, helped me acquire Criddle Hill farm there with the old horse stable. So, you know, it's kind of cool to do business with my uncle. And also, I have to continue to do jobs to support said building, right? And it just made sense. It helped Dylan out. Dylan's my mechanic. He's a good guy in town. So what Amy had instructed me to do was to have, here's the surety bond filled out, okay, for Liberty. I'm working with Cross Insurance. That's my commercial agent. Steve also
owned the financial ability behind the bond, and we're eminently going to have it. We might have it as early as tomorrow. it looks very, very good and almost assured that we'll have it this week. This is what they call a soft bond. I was former owner of SAM Mechanical, SAM Mechanical. In fact, we've done work for the town of Candy in the past. It was a large mechanical outfit. Yeah. We did the women's prison. We did big public projects for the state and for municipalities as well. So I've acquired many what they call surety bonds, which is a little step above a reclamation bond. The bonding company that we're working with remembers me. It's just a matter of some formalities to get a few things. So this quote-unquote soft bond is something we should have in hand for you eminently.
Okay.
So my agent, I asked her expectation on when the underwriting would take place, and she thought Friday. And what we forwarded to her, just so everyone's on the same page, there was an old Severino estimate of reclamation of the property. It was about $76,000 and change, loam, seed, right? Let's not leave it looking like Granite Hill, essentially, is how it was told, you know, to me, which makes perfect sense. Had I had known, I would have done this, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, we wouldn't even be here, right? So that's done. The other thing that we started to fill out was the 155 section. Hasn't been submitted yet. Amy told me to come here to just chat with you guys. Yes, you may. Thank of course. You.
Yeah. So the excavation, earth excavation application.
Of course. So,
So I guess my take is that as soon as you get that filled out, right now I don't think we have anything major scheduled for next meeting.
No, we missed the deadline for the 2nd and also the 16th, but doesn't matter. We could still do one for the 16th.
Yeah, because this isn't like a subdivision. This is just a excavation piece, right? So, we'll get you on the agenda as soon as we can. I haven't read the entire... I would recommend you read the excavation regulations.
Which one? The towns or the
towns?
The federal.
Okay.
Towns.
State.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, the towns. So the towns enabled legislation from the state.
Yeah.
And it's exactly correct. Everything you said is pretty much in two or three sentences of the town. It says basically building permit or
excavation,
but choosing the excavation. Now, the site plan, as Stevie has said, he's planning on building what's there for his future business, whether it's to work on his trucks or his fleet or whatever it is. There's no building permit at this time, so my understanding of this is there would be no site plan building bonding required or inspection from a site plan standpoint. We're not looking at footings. We're not looking at gravel content under the pavement. We're not looking at pipe slopes. Right now, there would be a gravel removal, erosion control, and stormwater erosion control, and grading, that type of a thing. So if the bond is in place, I'm assuming there are no further town inspections that are required.
I'll have to look, but that seems to make sense, but I can't give you a definitive because I haven't.
What we would typically do is, if this is pursued, there would be, we would do stormwater inspections for the gravel removal, as opposed to site plan inspections for having an engineer go out to look to see if you're grading the parking lot properly and see whether you're putting the right gravels down or... oh, you get a trench out there. The reality is everything's a cut, so if you cut too low, you're going to have to fill it back in. And at that point, you're causing work and cost to yourself that would be incurred. So we'd like to waive any site plan inspections, per se, and leave them as stormwater and evoke, because he's filling this out, he would then be pursuing a stormwater pollution prevention plan and inspections that would have to be filed on a yearly basis.
Again, we're going to have to go through the excavation regulations,
right?
And see exactly. And again, I'd recommend you actually look at these. Now, these were updated in 2019, so they are by town regulation standard pretty current. These aren't like 2004, like some things are.
Yeah, I didn't see any there, but I do know the 155E pretty extensively, that you shall follow it. And a lot of times, even the bond, we do an incremental bond, and Steve April said, I do these all the time, and I'll go and do it with this estimation. So that's the whole ball of wax. That's the whole, for everything, record. Steve Willis and would have to excavate everything and leave everything like the Granite Hill or like some of these open things in order to evoke that. Usually we don't do all that. That's excessive, but it's good. It covers you. That is covered. So I would hope that that's somewhere that you could see fit to go towards is leave it in the hands of 155E, worry about the building as we, because you're going to have to go back and get a new bond for building. It's going to be a whole different issue with that. It's not just reclaiming the gravel area. It's going to be building, footings, trenches, gravels, everything of that nature. And that's
construction bond.
Exactly. And that's going to be something that's entirely an entirely different animal. We just wanted to make sure we...
You know. And we're intending on providing that once we get the building permit.
Yeah.
Or as we get the building permit.
Which
first is
to.
The excavation permit.
Yeah, which is, a constant. And that's how I explain it to Jeff and them. I mean, it's a cut. And I started to explain that to, I think his name is Mark, that day. And he said, no dirt was ever to leave that site. It was supposed to stay on site. And that's how I was taken back. I mean, this... How would dirt stay? We make a bigger mountain. It's 20,000 projected yards.
Yeah, but you didn't have a permit either way.
And
that
I was wrong there,
yeah.
And I was misinformed, and I apologize for that. So I didn't want it to end. I mean, it was unfortunate.
And we did try our best, guys. We came in, and you know, it was all good faith.
Find the application.
Even by
she's got your
155E, you are able to remove once you have a site. The town, the selectmen enable the planning board, which I. Pretty much the planning board does all the paperwork and all of the understanding of this. Your site plan is the overruling document, and there are erosion control plans to follow in there. That's the overruling document in 155E. So that's the one that we'd like to follow. And in addition to that, S squared is going to require a extension of the site plan approval, which expires every 2 years. It is clear to me that the absorption rate or the removal of dirt that S squared is taking out at the rate is not going to get it done this year. He's bringing some fill over to his project here to fill and just taking it as he can get it. And I don't think his fleet is...
I have one triaxle. I mean, I have 15 vehicles, but... One triaxle.
So
excavation, we're in the infant stages.
In a couple of years, it's more plausible that a parking lot and a garage and the repair facility will be more necessary as time goes on. But you can't do everything at once. I think that we would ask the board what their procedure is for the staff to get a site plan extension. Is that pretty... regular or rudimentary?
Not that I've ever seen.
I'm just trying to work my way through this. I'm going to ask some questions if it's okay.
Of course.
So this is Dylan's plans that we approved, an approved site plan, I believe.
Correct.
Correct.
Connor.
His plan was to build a building up on this hill, and we had a really difficult driveway. Right. And it's a tough piece of land, right?
Very tough.
Yeah.
So based on that approval, your plan is to still put a building there, but you're going to carve out the entire mountain.
Well, that's what he was doing. It's exactly per
his
plan.
We're not changing anything.
He didn't tell us that.
Existing site plan.
Okay.
It's an existing site plan.
The one that I recall had a serpentine driveway that went up a pretty steep angle.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that I know that we approved.
Yeah.
So that would not...
That is... approval is not changing.
Okay.
No, it's not. And even so, like, I know that's how it looked in the rendering, right? Which is still what will happen. But you still have to cut down the sides. It shows... Detention and retention parts.
Turn it around.
Okay.
So all of this is dump road right here. Okay.
All right.
Turn it around so they can see it.
So just because you see that winding road.
Wait for the other gentleman to come up.
It's okay. You know,
actually, he's a chair. We should probably wait for him to come up.
But it doesn't. I'm only like right here. Okay. This is a 3-acre parcel.
Right.
So this is where the building goes, and Johnny, it shows the grading. So actually, it's another 20-foot cut back here.
Why don't we put the grading plan in? And
so you're planning on maintaining that same plan. Okay.
I just don't know when it's going to
look,
build a building.
But it's going to look different, though.
So,
wasn't the land going to look different?
It's going to be the same as what you approved is what you're going to get.
Okay. That wasn't what I was hearing when I'm hearing all this excavation. I'm thinking it's going to be a granite building.
This is the excavation that you're seeing. See all those contours?
Yes.
Those are 2 foot changes in the grade. There's 60 foot of relief from here to here.
That's a lot.
You can hang glide off of that, right?
Right. Okay.
But it's going to be sloped. Keach Nordstrom did it. A wonderful firm. They have everything by your regulation with the side slope.
I'm going to reset this from the beginning, so Brian.
I asked a question about this being the approved lot, and in my mind I was hearing that there was all kind of changes and it would be a giant excavation. They're saying, no, they're maintaining the exact same plan and having the building set the same way they were setting it. I didn't get that from the previous discussion. So
no changes in those.
Well, I assume that when he said that you weren't going to dig down too far because you didn't want to bring any gravel back in.
Correct.
That might have been an assumption, but
yeah, no, you're right.
And usually, if you're varying grade, some boards want to know exactly. Other ones say, you know, plus or minus a foot is not an issue. Things like that. You'll run into, you know, maybe you hit some silty stuff here. You're still going to have to under excavate it, and then fill it in and things of that nature, so that you don't want to ruin the land. That's
right.
Rule number one, because the land is worth, the dirt is pennies. He needs it to fill in places,
right.
But the dirt is pennies. The land is the value, and you cannot ruin that land. And Kevin and noticed, there's a 60-foot drop from here. I mean, you can hang glide off of that, over that, but it's sloped. So you're going to see a steep slope that looks to me like it's about 20 feet. You're going to see
there were a couple of retaining walls in this, too, as I recall. At least
it looks like there's one here.
I think one in front of the building,
right.
I think, too.
Yeah. Yep. So there's a couple of them. No way.
222.
So the way that you read that...
It's right here. It's a small retaining wall.
Our ordinance is you can excavate without a permit if it's to... make the land ready for the building site.
You have to pull one of two permits.
You got to have a building permit or the excavation permit. But the way you're doing it, you're going to need both, right? You're doing excavation first,
then come back with the building in hand, designed, in hand that fits this.
Yes.
Ready to go
forward.
Okay.
That's why we're asking, extend the site plan, because the site plan expires after 2 years. Extend it. Stevie believes that within 2 years he will be ready. Within a year to 2 years, he will be ready, but he's not ready to bring you architectural plans to the building department and say, here's the building I want. Because today it might be a metal building. Next year it might be a block building. Year after it might be a hemlock timber. Who knows? It changes.
And the bond is in case things go belly up, the economy crashes, and no one's left holding the bag.
When they're done with the excavation, right, and there's no problems, the excavation bond will go back. And there'll be another bond for the construction of a building permit, a new bond.
And inspections for building.
Right, and some escrow to be held for the building inspections.
Correct.
By Stantec and so on and so forth.
And folks, just to let you know about the financial ability, this is all encumbered, unencumbered, no debt. There's no debt in the land, there's no debt on the equipment. We're a small company, but we're viable. We're not carrying all kinds of debt, we're not a shoestring company. We, full benefits to the guys. It's a real establishment.
Under One Roof just turned 4 in April, and we have 20 full-time employees. So
it's
grown well, you know what I mean? So
with full benefits, guys.
Yeah,
with full benefits.
Absolutely.
Makes it
difference.
So,
and you verify.
I do. So I do have one thing that I like to bring up and talk about, and I don't know how this fits in. So with what Dylan had planned, it was going to be 2 years or within... Sorry, I wasn't part of this approval process.
Yeah.
I came after. Of course, up here, we have a homeowner up here somewhere. Yeah, over here somewhere.
It's up here.
Yep, there.
That's
okay.
Past National Machinery Movers is here.
Okay, perfect. So I'm sure part of the plans was, I would assume, is some type of visual break.
Mm-hmm.
And given the fact that... it's a couple of years off. I've seen what you've done over on Rim Road.
Yep,
looks very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Did a good job.
Thank you.
And I would just like to.
He had plenty of buffer.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you, but you had plenty of buffer?
Yeah,
okay,
for
perfect.
Sure.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, well, so I just wanted to make sure that...
And if there was any screens, like, I'm open to whatever.
Well,
I want
that's
to be,
why
I...
But, that, but if you build to that plan,
then it's...
Then there's okay. Nothing... Everybody in this board currently could hate that plan. It doesn't matter. We've approved it. Now, for an extension, I don't know. Megan and I will have to look into that, okay? Let you know that process, okay? But right now, there's nothing this board can do to stop you from building that plan. Nope, that's been approved, all set and done. Okay.
Any other questions from...
Nope.
Right, so my last question is this. Who approves the excavation permit? Is it the building inspector? Or the
understanding is it's us.
It's you.
Yeah. If you're enabled, it's either selectman or who they enabled. So it's the planning board, sign.
Right.
And
we'll just have to, again, do our due diligence. You got to do your due diligence to look at that regulation and figure out what we all need to...
Going forward, is there anything you need from myself or from S Squared in terms of the excavation permit that you know of? I mean, if you have any questions, I'm available. I know the regulations very well.
Do the app and provide us with the information that we're going to need according to that regulation, right? So that when you come in, we are...
So this plan that's of record is the... There's no, it's under the threshold of site specific for the state. It's small. This grading plan and erosion control plan is your document for the 155E.
Okay.
So you approved that document already. And when you're...
But include that with the, you know, include that information, you know, that plan, a miniature plan with the application. Right.
Make an 8.5 by 11 or 11 by 17. You like to have them in foldable 11 by 17 or 8.5 by 11?
11 by 17, right? Because that needs to be part of the application because
absolutely.
These are
you
two
can,
distinct.
Different things.
Right? Even though we all know it's the same thing,
yep.
It's not the same thing. In
and I want them to copy the bond.
Yep.
Under those circumstances, Tim, do you see us moving forward? It could be 4 or 5 weeks because it just seems like a lot of time for something that's procedural.
I understand it's procedural, but
we need an application.
We need an application.
Oh no, I'm not denying that.
Yeah.
I'm saying,
go ahead, Cap.
Is if they bring an application tomorrow, do we have to have a public hearing on that application? Do we have to let a certain amount of time elapse?
We have to have a public hearing on it.
Okay,
and you do have to have a public hearing
on an application, really.
So but you don't have to have you have a public hearing. You open it to the public.
Correct.
You don't have to have a butter notification, do you? The planning board usually notifies the butters. A lot of selectmen, they just notify in the town. They place it up on the town. This is a selectman's hearing on X, Y, and Z.
The owners do the butters notifications.
15th. And that's fine. That's fine if you...
To give them a chance, yes. I think they're all well aware, but yes.
Because that was already approved.
That was.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
So,
we're
going to have to figure that out.
Right.
Okay. We'll put you on the schedule as quickly as we can, okay, right?
Deal.
So we're not going to drag our feet on this, right? Because it really is just, you're right, it's procedural in
so my inclination.
Legally, what do we have to do?
I guess
that's what we got to figure out.
To summarize, my inclination would be to notify butters for enacting the town gravel removal and an extension of the site plan, reapproval of the site plan or extension of the site plan for 2 years. Site plan expires every 2 years. As the excavation, mind you, never expires. Ever until it's out of gravel. That's a state law, and that's what you've enacted is a state law. But that doesn't mean you can pull a building permit. You have to have that site plan viable all the time. So I would just think that the best legal way to go forward is to notify butters for those two endeavors at the next available hearing and first handle the site plan. We're redoing the same thing on the site plan as nothing. And then the excavation becomes, we're doing the excavation for this site plan, but it's taking us longer than, you know, we don't even have building plans yet. It's going to take me a year. I just bought this plan. I just bought this lot. I'm digging. I want to build my building, but it's
you know, 2 years into the future. So we need that. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes.
What's because the signature date on that?
From this one?
Yeah.
It was a year and a half ago? A year ago?
Twenty-three.
Oh, from the approval,
when,
you mean?
Yeah, I don't know when.
Not the plans.
Signing. Yeah.
Or the plans.
That was the plans were done January 13th.
January 13th, 2023. And then the approval notice was actually.
So you're already over that number.
Right.
The approval notice was in April of.
23.
April 23? Yeah. I don't know the date. So I think we acquired the property April 14th. Or so
of this year.
Of this year.
Of this year.
Right.
And that's when I, like I said, I come down to the town. I was like, hey, are we actually shovel ready? And I asked, you know, shame on me if I didn't know. You know, that's on me.
So the fact that it's already expired, what's that do to everybody?
I don't know. Megan and I will have to dig in and figure that out. That's something that's never happened under my watch.
See if it's possible for us to give an extension to an expired document.
Correct. I don't know the answer.
Or if it has to go through another approval, which would be unfortunate.
Yep.
But if it's not legal for us to...
Correct.
In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, is it legal to extend something that's expired? And I...
Yeah.
That doesn't sound legit to me, just off the top
of
my head.
Just like you heard in the piece before you, there's things we have to do that...
Got it.
You have to do it. The planning board is in charge of the paperwork of the numbers. So that was my inclination, is to go in for an extension and for a gravel excavation secondary to that, as opposed to going to the building department for a building permit.
Okay. Cool.
So I will drop the bond off to Amy once I receive it.
Or does it go to Megan?
Go to Megan.
Okay. And I will bring in an executed permit application.
Yep.
Is there
the excavation permit also, right?
That's what I said. The executed excavation permit.
With
a copy of that. It should be on record, but I'll bring you one so you have it together.
Well, again, we'll, you know, keep it all together so we have a nice, neat paper trail.
And then, is this indefinite? What's the deal with this?
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't do anything until you get the permit.
Until the paperwork is...
So that'll be tabled till the 16th of July, it sounds like. Is that right?
If we can get you in earlier, we will.
Great.
So our next meeting is the 2nd of July?
Yeah.
Okay.
That hasn't been canceled to the 4th of July week or anything like that, right?
Yet,
so we're still on schedule?
Cool.
Okay.
If we could have that meeting, that'd be most appreciated.
But it's inside... Is there a notification period that we abridge?
It has to be 10 days to notify abutters. But I think that's the only limitation that
we normally have a longer period because we have to go through an engineering review.
Right.
But I think we've already got the topo that they're going to excavate
to. The engineer went through that dock top to bottom a few times.
Correct.
So why can't they be at the next one?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out.
Okay.
If they can be
10 days, it looks like you'd be within it.
Right. If they can be, you will be.
So first thing for Wednesday is...
Time is of the essence right now.
Yeah, no,
really
get
is.
It.
Understood, guys. Well,
right.
Thanks for hearing us.
We're going to be good neighbors to you guys.
Yes.
We're going to be...
We're trying.
Thank you so much. It's always good to come.
We started out right. This is just unforeseen, unfortunate.
I don't do much of this
anymore.
I really miss it. I do miss it.
It's fun.
We have a couple of gravel pits. They're almost done. 30 years some of them.
Wow.
It takes a long time, but this is...
That's funny. We recently talked about gravel pits.
Yeah,
we never talked about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If there's anything that you need, he can just call me. I've been friends with Steve of S Squared for years.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Come on down, guys. Let me read it out. Case number 24001, major subdivision. Applicant owner Bob and Claudia Carr, 17 Vassar Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Property location 669 High Street, Candia, New Hampshire. Map 405, lot 48. Intent to amend the approved planning board approval dated May 15th, 2024. By converting the approved buildings to condominiums. I've said my piece. There you go.
I'm Bob Carr, the applicant. I
Attorney Jason Billigas. He's the creator of the condominium documents that you have before you. And Joe Coronati, civil engineer with Johnson Beach, and he'll start in.
Thank you for having us. We're here. You may recall we were here about a year ago, received approval. This is 669 High Street. We received approval for three duplexes and one barn out back. And we're here tonight to simply convert this approval, which were previously thought of as being rentals. We're going to convert them into condominiums. So there's no change to the plans, no physical alteration to the design, to the grading, to the utilities, to anything that was approved by this board. This is simply just a change in the form of ownership from rental to condominium. There's a process for this, which is why we're here. This is a condo conversion that the board reviews and typically approves, and then we provide you with a condominium site plan, which would be recorded, and we provide you with condominium documents, which outline the rules of the condominium, how the owners will, pay fees. It's all privately. All of this is privately maintained. There's no town involvement in the maintenance of the driveways or the or really anything on this property. It's all privately funded, and the condominium will share in the costs of the plowing, lawn care, future maintenance of the driveway if as needed, as everything's need maintenance. And I think that's it. The only other approval that we need for the condominium conversion is we do need state subdivision approval to convert these from rentals to condos, which we've applied for. And I think that's it.
Okay. I will state my concerns, my only concerns, all right? One is the access to the barn is a logging road that really is relatively inaccessible to vehicles, and that was granted because it was a single owner property, and the fire chief said if it burns, it burns. That's your problem, right? Now this is going into a condominium, multi-tenant, multi-owner situation, and I just have concerns that's not acceptable due diligence on our part, right? And we need to discuss whether it is or not. That's yet to be determined. I'm just putting out the points that we need to discuss, right? The other one is, there was no surveying beyond the developed part of the property, and again, thinking of due diligence for this becoming a multi ownership situation, should we look at requiring a perimeter survey or not as part of the, I don't think we need to worry about where the wetlands are, where the streams are, what the contours are, but should we require a perimeter survey?
I can answer, I think, a couple of those, both of them maybe. The second one's easier for me. We do have to do the perimeter survey. So we will have that for the final plans. So that's a state law. We have to show the whole boundary because of the condominium law requires us to prove out who who has rights to what. So that will be done.
Okay.
We're already actually we've actually done the field work for the boundary survey, and we will have that all on the final plan. It will not. From what talking to our surveyors, the property's been surveyed by a surveyor that Bob actually hired a couple decades ago.
20 years ago.
That firm went out of that firm went out of business. So we ended up having to resurvey it. It's all stone walls, and the surveyors are telling me it's not going to be much different than what was recorded, which is what we show on the second plan. page. So it's that's basically the boundary, and we will have meets and bounds distances on it in a final area when it's all said and done. Bob will the way we laid out the limited common areas with any with any condominium, you have a couple of terms. You have common area and you have limited common area.
What's the difference between the two?
It's sort of what you control as an owner of a condominium and what the association controls as common area.
So is it a building? Could it be vegetable gardens? Could it be, you know?
It's all outlined. The rules are all outlined in the condominium documents of what you're allowed to do in those areas. We dictate, or we depicted the limited common for each of the duplexes mm-hmm. in the front. That's that kind of that box around the buildings with the hatching. The general rules of that are things like, I can't go set up a barbecue grill behind your unit because it's your limited common area. But I can't set up chairs. I can't go into, I can't necessarily violate that area that's under your limited common ownership. I can't park in front of your garage.
Mm-hmm. So what is the unit 7, the barn? What's its purpose? Because I thought it was going to be, for lawnmowers and, equipment.
My recollection was it was going to be your personal workshop.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
But nothing's changed with that.
So you'll be the owner of Unit 7.
Yes.
So and other people will be the owner of the other units.
Yes. And that's the limited common area for Unit 7. So that's only for your personal use right there. It's not for the condo's use.
The barn.
Well, it
that's
says
correct.
Limited yeah. common area
right.
for Unit 7. So that's
so
the barn,
he'd be protected
right?
by those same things, right?
Right.
So people couldn't set up a fire pit in his condo area.
Or build a fort, have their kids
right.
go out and build
right.
a fort way in the
yeah.
back.
Yeah, I just wanted that clarified.
Property.
It's just
yes.
I wasn't sure, is that going to be rental? Because, some condos, they have a common area that they rent for big parties. If you say you can't have everybody in your house, so you rent. And I wasn't sure if that was what
no.
the barn's purpose was going to be, is that common area to have larger groups of, condo owners, renting it. Okay. All right. That clarified me, because I don't remember seeing it as a unit.
No, I understand.
Just proposed barn.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we had to give it when you convert it to condominium, you have to give it a unit number of anything.
Right.
And you can condominiumize really anything. You can condominiumize, boat slips at a marina,
mm-hmm.
Parking spaces. In Boston, they kind of minimize parking spaces. And then the construction to get out back, the trail or driveway that's out there today will be improved. It has to be improved just to build the barn, because he's got to get, concrete trucks out there to pour a foundation. He's got to get, trucks and equipment to build the barn is going to improve that road at least enough to carry all those items. And
it's not going to be a skidder trail. That's
which is what it pretty much is now.
Which it is now, right? I mean, and that's just because the logger just got finished this past winter, and then when the spring came, everything kind of sank and rutted everything up, so I've been out there cleaning
it
up.
It's nice and dry. It should be fine.
So I right now I've spent the last month cleaning everything up from what they did. So I think I'm kind of back to square one and got everything nice and neat.
So I guess my take is. I'm just wondering what do we need some other verbiage as to what that's going to look like, and
I have one other.
I'm not sitting here doubting this at all. I'm just saying we need to kind of document that in some way, shape, or fashion. Right?
Now, refresh my memory, but the way I recall this is that technically they were required to have a town graded road, and we said, gee, since it's privately held apartments, we're going to let them just put a driveway in. Does the state require, from a condominium standpoint,
a different road structure.
The state has no no real say or care because it's on private property, either if it's a private drive to rental units or a private drive to condominium units. Okay. It's more the towns.
I spent an unfortunate two and a half, three years of my life living in a condo, and all of the, it was a big condo complex, all of those were their private drive, it was all driveway.
Okay, so that's not a concern.
Right, I mean, you know, we could make it a concern,
that circle area, drainage, does it need guardrails, does it not need guardrails for public safety, what have you, and I think at the time we kind of said, rental, no, I'm not sure if condo, it's like, oh, that's a more formal thing, and do we need to have those? Not a big fan of rules and regulations, you know that.
Well, and right? You know my take on guardrails.
I just recall the conversation coming up, and I think we kind of shrugged it and said, apartments, and I don't know if that changes because it's condos. I'm just raising the subject.
I had a concern, I won't say an issue, I had a concern about that as well, that it was now multi-tenant, you know, multi-ownership situation, right? But I think the only thing because it is a private driveway, it's not a town road, but everything else was fine except, you know, doing some guard railing around the internal. Remember, Bob, wasn't that the
thing? Yep, there's guard, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We said, no, we don't want guardrails. And if I remember, the slope was not,
I brought the old plans.
My thought was, if it's apartments and it's his property, liability lands on him,
right?
And I don't know if, because it's condos, if liability falls on town.
Mm-hmm. No, it falls on the condo association.
Okay. But does it fall on town because they approved the condo association?
No, it's I'm just asking.
As a guy who paid condominium insurance fees, they pay for that. That's a condo.
So just to clarify, it's still going to be private. So after you leave High Street, it'll be on private property. And then, so what we're doing here tonight is we're just getting approval to convert it from renting to condominium ownership. And there's still going to have to be building permits and driveway permit and everything. And those kind of details will get taken care of with the code officer.
Yeah, originally that was a concern of mine. But again, I remember that it wasn't such a, it was only a, you know, it barely met the requirements for a guardrail.
Well, as I recall, it didn't for state requirements, but it did for your town.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, we have the slope into the middle is a 3-to-1 slope, which is a standard, you know, road slope off the side, and it's not very deep. You know, it's
that's 3 feet to one. That's right. A slope that it looks like about that.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Why did you change it from rentals to condos?
Because when we started this about 3 or 4 years ago, interest rates were about 2.5%. They're at 7.5% now. Construction costs were about 30% less than they are now. So the time has a funny way of changing things. It's like these guys that came before said, you know, today I might want a wooden building, but tomorrow I may want a metal building, and who knows what the world looks like in 3 years because everything changes.
You start having to dig deeper into your pocket than you planned on.
Yeah, you know, and we're doing a minor project here. I mean, as these guys will tell you, I could have got 50 units here and done a 55 and older project and you know, gone bananas on the project, and I didn't because I love the piece of property and I enjoy it and I want to continue to use it, and this is my way of doing that. Oh. I hope I can still do that and have the barn. If not, then the equation changes.
You know, we've been working with you.
Yeah.
It's just too bad, though, because we don't have rentals available, you know? Yeah. Affordable housing, it's...
Well, like, if somebody buys a condo, they can rent it.
Yeah, and these will also be, you know, by today's standards, these will be affordable.
They are, as the definition of a two-family, two families are typically more affordable than single-family detached, you know, simple homes, right?
Yeah.
So everything's so expensive, though. So
I live in a condo, and it's so expensive. I can't believe it.
So I guess my, you know, I'm still concerned about that roadway back to the barn. That if we could document what that's going to look like.
I mean, like Joe was saying, I mean, I have to get a concrete truck. No company is going to allow their concrete truck to drive down a road that could potentially get stuck. Because once you get a full concrete truck stuck,
it's
really hard to get them unstuck. So that road is going to have to be.
But again, my point, Bob, is that if we don't have something documented that it's not going to be the two real rut road it is.
Yeah,
now,
right.
We wouldn't be doing our. I don't think we'd be doing our due diligence. That's.
Yeah.
Am I singing off?
No, it makes sense because that was my main concern too. Is the road that was going out there, and I know that was our big discussion the last time. Was that road out to the barn?
Right.
As to how it was going to be.
So something that we memorialize as a way to say that this is.
It'll
this
be
is
you know yeah, 8-10 feet wide, whatever you know. 6 inches of gravel or something to that effect. If we could get that in a plan, I think all our
worries would be
at least mine aren't it. I'm not speaking for the board, so everybody else chime in.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
That could be a condition. You'd be
if we could certainly do a road profile and show you that there's going to be some gravel on it and have that as a condition.
Or call it out as a 6 inches of. You know, crushed gravel to be laid in the for the driveway out, which I think is
the
typical.
Construction equipment, exactly.
We could make something up tonight that as a condition of approval, or just say that you know you'll provide us with what you're going to do for that road as a conditional, and has to be approved by the board, and we would just go, that works.
Do concrete trucks have a generic? We need this much.
Yeah,
support.
No, what he does is they'll send their sales guy down there. He'll walk it. He'll make sure that it's okay, and then he'll just call and say, it's fine.
So out of curiosity, I assume in the condo docs, the maintenance and such of the road would be included in that, right? For all 60 units would be taken care of that.
Of the loop road?
Basically out to the barn.
No, so that'll be on Bob's... responsibility
seven.
To maintain.
We call that out.
We call that out. Okay.
So it wouldn't be so the unit owner.
The town attorney has reviewed the HOA docs.
Yep.
He's got a few edits. We didn't bother getting it back to you until we had this hearing to see if there were any. Why go through edit after edit after edit, right? We're going to review those docs and approve them. And, you know, once the town attorney's done with them, then we'll get them.
Okay.
We'll take a look at them and get them back to you. But that process has already started.
There's no town ordinances against condos or anything like that?
It wouldn't matter if we had one because the state says we got to.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So it's a situation, again, where we can't deny him, but we can do the things we're doing to assure public safety and so on and so forth, but... We can't deny them turning these into condos. Not that we would want to anyway, but I'm just saying we couldn't even if we wanted to. Because the state would go. Bob would go up to the state and they'd come down and spank us.
Bob, go ahead and put in your 50 units.
So if the fire chief was here, could we ask him if... can we ask questions to the fire chief since he's present? Like there's no difference from a fire standpoint between a private residence and a condo, because it's still a private residence, right? It's completely irrelevant to public safety from your standpoint.
I would say so. There's no difference.
Okay. No requirement for sprinklers or anything like that.
But that's all in there. That's all in their use already.
Oh, it is.
Knox boxes and everything else is already in there. All right. Yep, that's already in there. Because from Dean's perspective, right, it's the same structure.
Right. Okay.
Fire department, don't give a shit who owns it.
rental or condo, they're showing up.
Right. Yeah. All right. So, let's just talk about, so I think we've got everything answered but the road, and then we will again
in a few weeks, probably have the HOA documents we can look at and get back to you, okay? So let's talk about how we structure this approval, right? We all agree we want to do something with the road. Do we want to, and this is an open discussion amongst all of us here, do we want to just stay, the condition of approval is that the road to the barn that they submit to the town for our approval, what the gravel road to the barn is going to look like? Or do we want to come up with something, make something up, you know, 4 inches of gravel, 8 feet wide, or whatever the, whatever you're, whatever the width you're planning on.
Well, you basically need it for construction anyway, so it's whatever safety that they require, that was our, would be our conditional use.
Yeah, but we're going to need something memorialized, yeah.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Why is that? Why do we care?
Well, because it's a common ownership situation now. He's part of the condominium association. And I think we need to have something that states that road will be somewhat improved from what it was just as a single owner. That's my take. Again, I'll...
But it's kind of like what Linda said, that, you know, it would meet the standards of a construction vehicle going out there. You're not specifying the depth or anything.
Because seems the like only one after the construction is going to be you travel. None of the condo owners are going to be traveling back there.
Correct.
Well, they could walk, but they wouldn't be
driving.
It would be not, right? Mm-hmm. Yep.
So think about it. Somebody make a motion and somebody second. How's that?
I don't personally care if it's improved at all. If they have to get equipment out there to build it, they need to have a pathway that'll support that. And other than that, it's not really part of the condominium complex in reality, because it's just your private building that happens to be needing a building number.
It is unit number 7.
Yeah,
right.
It is part of the condo association.
But it's not a residence.
Right.
I think you understand.
He could sell it, and it is a
right,
condo
someday
entity.
It could be. Right.
So is it linked to a specific unit? So it is, it's its own standalone unit then.
Right.
So will it have septic and water? Well,
no.
No.
But it could in the future.
But they have to come back here.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, the way these plans are, it's a non-residential unit.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's basically like a storage facility.
Since it is a condo building in the condo complex that we're approving, and it could be sold, unlikely, but it could be sold in the future, does there have to be some kind of information about accessibility to it from a road standpoint, specification standpoint?
See, that's where I was at, yeah. But again, I'm not...
I wonder if the... Let's say you mentioned like it could be in the future a residence...
Mm-hmm.
Which is a concern. These things go on for many years. I think maybe a condition could be if it ever was, anyone ever came back to the board to turn it into a residence, then the driveway would have to be improved for fire truck access. Because that's your concern, I believe, is that if there's ever, not that Bob's proposing this, but if somebody was out there, you'd want to be able to get to that unit.
Right.
He's not proposing to use it as a residence, which I think makes it less... It's like as if you wanted to put a shed way out on the back of your property. That it's not a situation where if something happened and it burned, then you'd have to get to it.
And you wouldn't want the association paying for that road. Say somebody bought that unit, and now you need a road improvement that goes to the condo association for them paying for it.
No,
so then
that's
not really fair either.
I mean,
the way they set it up is it's all private. One, from the pavement out to the barn, it's all the responsibility of Unit 7. To
okay.
And that's in the
oh,
condominium
okay.
document.
Oh,
no, is,
the
unit,
okay.
is Unit
okay.
7,
okay.
Is, is Unit 7 studs in, or is it the entire building that is the owner's property?
It's the
right?
entire building.
It's the entire building.
Yeah.
So even if that burns down, it doesn't affect the association.
Correct.
Okay, so that
kind of clarifies.
So, yeah,
that relieves
so that
one
sense.
Concern,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just...
Right, we're just calling it Unit 7 or whatever just to give it a name, but it really isn't part of the whole project. It's your private, and
yeah.
if anybody ever wanted to do anything, they'd come before the board.
It is a unique thing, but what we can do, and I just kind of scribbled this down, right, we can in our motion here in our, you know, notice of decision, say Unit 7 is approved as a non-residential unit. If use changes, it requires planning board approval.
That's a true statement.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
So that covers all that. And again, since that it's not a studs in condo situation, that it is the entire building and the road and everything else is that one unit's responsibility, I'm not feeling the angst I felt about that road quite so much.
And well, I think it was for non-commercial use, right, is part of that original plan?
Yes.
Yes, correct, yeah.
Non-commercial and non-residential use.
Okay. So out of curiosity, though, could the Unit 7 be sold off? It'd be a seventh unit in the condominium. You're saying yes? Or
yes.
Okay. All right.
I believe
yeah.
any, yeah, Unit
yeah.
7
but,
could
but
be
the,
sold
But
off.
The restrictions and the like on Unit 7 would pass with that, right? So the,
right.
the
yeah.
homeowner association
yeah.
stating that private drive up to Unit 7 is Unit 7's responsibility.
Yep.
That Unit 7 owns the entire structure, not just studs, not just inside the studs.
And
right.
it is non-residential and non-commercial.
Right.
Yep.
Because
yep.
most condos, you just own drywall in.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So the structure itself is owned by the association.
Right. Pipes,
in this,
pipes and the ceiling break, they're the building. The ceiling tiles are yours, I think.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so if the roof fails, that's the association's problem, but if it knocks down the ceiling in your unit, that's your problem. So by the way that ownership of Unit 7 is structured, you know, we don't have I no longer have that multi-tenant concern for that road and the barn.
Right.
Right, that's Bob's problem or Bob's son's problem or whoever. Bob sells that too for $1 million.
So actually, the kind of all that gray area that would be can't think of the name, but it'd be like a regular paved area. So on the plans, it's all grayed just before the.
No, that's it's. I think he.
What's that?
I think that's
talking
just
about this.
That's just outside the wood line. That's all.
What that was is
oh,
that
okay.
we had to relocate the. There's an existing. You know, trail or road out to where that barn's going.
Yes.
But that section we have to relocate to get it to the pavement because that this gravel drive actually goes all the way out to Route 27 currently.
Okay. Yeah, you know where the loggers have been, the skidders
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
I've been
that's,
watching them.
That,
yeah,
that's
that.
Where that road goes now, but that would
okay.
be going right.
So we're just showing like we have to relocate
oh,
it to get
yeah.
it to the pavement
okay.
because we're going to discontinue that.
Yeah, right now that's going
that
right
curb
to the backyard
cut
out of units one
yeah.
and two.
Right. And we did do test bits out there, and Bob has a backhoe. We drove, you know, that is a drivable. It is
yeah.
called a trail, but you could easily get a pickup truck. 2 years ago, we could have got a pickup truck down there. I don't know what it looks like now.
Your surveyors have been out there, and they're driving out there.
Yeah,
so.
Well, yeah, they're
hardy bunch.
They're not the most responsive.
They're hardy
bunch.
I
wish they wouldn't always drive some places, but
I think I got them in trouble.
The dents on the truck
yeah.
are the telltale signs.
All right, anybody got anything else? I think we're good. I think we finally worked it through.
So what needs to get motioned?
That we accept the amendment to make it a condominium and that we add Unit 7 is a non-residential, non-commercial use. And if that changes, it would require planning board approval. I think that's the only conditions we're going to put on it, right? Well, that and...
And then we're
obviously,
see
actually, the other condition is that we have the town has to approve the homeowners,
right? The HOA.
The HOA.
So, the town being they've got to come back to us with HOA documents that we approve,
we've got that now.
Okay.
Okay, we got them a couple weeks ago. Didn't we get them back from the lawyer like a week before I went on vacation or something?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh great, he's made some edits, but I just didn't feel like going through the thing, bringing it before us, because I figured. Why go through multiple edits on it? We'll get this done to make sure anything else needs to happen. So, like, these things will be put into the edits
these conditions will be edits in the HOA agreement, right? Because rather than us paying our, well, him paying our lawyer twice and him paying his lawyer twice, we'll just do it once. I'm trying to save a little bit of money for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
If I remember what that motion was, I would have made it.
I can do it. I've been writing stuff.
Good.
I'll try.
Okay.
A motion to accept plans for 6-unit condos on 669 High Street with conditions. Unit 7 would remain as a non-commercial, non-residential unit. If use change, must come before board for approval. Also, another condition is HOA approvals.
HOA, yep.
Wow. Did I do it right?
I second that.
There we go.
Good.
And Judy second. Judy.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Dave.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
So I have a question.
Oh, no, sorry, we're done.
That's all your time.
We're all
too late. Too late by the second. I actually pulled my the building permits some time ago and paid fees and had those. But when I went to go have my pre-construction meeting, they told me that they would not allow me to have that until we had this meeting. So with this meeting and the conditional approvals. Am I okay to go ahead with staff to have a pre-construction meeting so they can say, like, so I can start? Yeah. And for me to start, it's just I'm just getting to the very beginning.
I don't see why not. And
okay.
Megan, you can give me the notice of decision document tomorrow, probably?
Yes.
Okay. And I may or may not sign it, but yeah. No. Hopefully I can get down here tomorrow and sign it.
Okay.
All right, so even if you require documentation, if someone needs you to show a piece of paper, we should have that to you tomorrow.
Great.
At the latest Monday.
Oh, that's perfect.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Great discussion.
Yeah.
We all learn a lot.
It takes us a while, but we eventually get there.
You don't get a lot of condos here, right?
I think these are the only ones, I believe.
We're going to have seven.
Yeah, we're going to have seven condos.
Seven units.
Seven. All those 55 and over count, too, right?
Well, actually, yeah, those are condos, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
We got a lot of those.
You're leaving, Russ? Do you just come down to watch the show and you're going to leave and not say anything?
No. Oh. Going out with Bob. All right.
Approval of the minutes.
I had one.
Oh, did you, Dave?
Adjustment.
Take care.
It's Foss Memorial Park, what? Not Foster. And so on the second page, end of the first.
What line?
40.
Line
40.
I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure it was Foss Memorial Park.
Yeah.
Correct. You said
30?
40.
40. Foss. Thank you.
Yep. See, nice catch.
I didn't know that because I don't really know that park.
Okay, so I'll change that on line 47 as well.
Nice one.
I got to admit to not having time to even look at them, so I feel.
Well, we got good editors.
Yeah.
Everything else looked good.
Okay.
I just didn't know that name.
I make a motion to approve the minutes with the edits or corrections.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Judy.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Dave.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
I really, at this point, do not feel like talking about fees.
Me too.
Me too.
Call me crazy, but I think I'm okay with it.
We already did a lot. 637,
38. We really belted that out for the last time.
Yeah.
If I have some questions for clarification related to the last meeting that we just approved the minutes of, would that be a after the meeting off record thing, or would that be an on the record thing?
You can absolutely talk about it now.
I know that we've talked about all those town properties that were taken off the list of saleable properties. And the reason for most of that was because they were under the auspices of the Conservation Committee, right?
Right.
So, but that makes me, afterwards I was thinking, the Select Board is obligated to dispense of those properties within a certain amount of time, and they're delinquent, and they're trying to come up to speed on it, because the sale of those
it was required by law to have the remaining money that's left go back to the original owners or their heirs. So stuff that's off the list, because it's under the town's control now, what happens to the original heirs and the money that it was valued at?
That's a selectman's issue.
Yeah, I think that...
I had the same thing, but I... Yeah.
We don't know. The town may very well know, but we don't know how those properties that have been put under the auspices of the Conservation Commission,
well,
how we got them.
Yeah, a lot of different ways they come into the town owned, and then it goes for the warrant article to put it specifically under the Conservation Commission.
But if there's 30 acres and they owe $30,000, but the property's worth $1 million.
But I don't see anybody owing anything on the properties that are under the Conservation Commission.
Yeah, but those would have been cleaned before it got through,
right.
I think, yes.
So those...
But we don't know, Kevin, whether they were deeded to the town, whether they were donated to the town.
Okay.
We don't...
Okay, I was just trying to understand the mechanics.
Somebody
right.
might,
okay.
but we don't know.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, typically the town does not take tax lien property and vote on the warrant article to
right.
send to the
unless they're clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are properties that have tax lien on them for non-payment taxes. Then you have people who want to donate money, donate property, who write it into their will.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the properties that the town votes on and says, yeah, we'll put those in.
Yeah.
And you could also get a situation where somebody's got a tax lien on their property, right? And they just want out from underneath it. So they're just like, you sign it over to the town, even though that was triggered by a tax lien.
I don't know if they can do that. I thought that they still
had
to collect the money somehow.
Well, I mean, they can sign the property over to the town.
That's true.
And the town do what they want with it. If they want to sell it to get the revenue, so be it, right? Because the town hasn't seized it for taxes. The owner has just said, I've got $50,000 in taxes due on this thing, and it's rolling up, and...
And the town can decide that, okay, it's worth it for us to take it, or no... Yeah, but their signing the document and
giving
it over is like getting a payment.
Correct, yeah.
So of the 19 properties, only one, the one that was on 30 acres on High Street, right by Hooks and Line, was the only one that there's no tax deed on. So all the rest are yes, tax deed, or unknown. And it just seemed odd that we wouldn't know.
Yeah.
A lot of odd stuff.
Well, who knows when they came into town, too? I don't know, right? Because, you know, listening from what I understand, which to me is kind of shocking, but up until a few years ago, the town didn't have to sell the property in a reasonable amount of time, which I do view that as illegal seizure of property, right? If I've got a $200,000 piece of property and I owe $30,000 and the town
holds it forever,
yeah.
And then turns it over to conservation.
Right. I'm now. I mean, I'm due my 170 of excess money, right? And I think going forward, it will definitely be that way because of state law and because the town is a little more attentive to those types of things. But yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, right? We don't know. I mean, somebody literally could have lost their property and it just sat in the town coffers for, you know, decades, and
right.
then just said, hey, Judy, you want this one?
right?
That absolutely could have happened.
And that kind of stuff does happen across the country.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Oh, no question. No question. Make anything else?
I'll make a
good
motion
luck with
too.
Your excavation permit.
What's that?
Good luck with your excavation permit. I sat here and I was reading through all the, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
I just... At first, I was thinking, no, just get the building permit. Now, that application looks like it's expired.
Yeah.
We got to figure out where we are with that.
There.
Yeah.
And I literally never read the excavation.
Well, because we've never had to deal with it.
Right, never had to deal with one, right?
Because so, you didn't want the quarry to do anything.
But literally, like the last meeting we said, boy, don't have to worry about that. We don't have them.
And then he shows up.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But I literally do lay it at his feet, no matter who told you what. It literally
right.
took me like 20 minutes to figure that out, okay? You know, read the regulations before you do anything.
Right. Well,
anybody listening out there, read the regulations before you do anything.
Well, in the building application,
that's already
site plan is different from excavating it. Even if you're going to be excavating it and then building, to me, in my mind, they're two separate things. You're excavating for some point of time. Could be 2 years, could be 3 years, could be 6 years. And then eventually you're going to build. They're different.
But
so
what
an engineer said over here might not be what the engineer may say over here.
Well,
he's
saying
an excavation.
To us, and what we'll have to make as a condition, right, will be that he's excavating to those plans for that building.
If that's what they...
But if they're taking dirt out of there, that's a whole different story.
There's revenue due to the town.
Yeah, because...
Per truck, per ton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right, there is.
Yeah, there's tax.
I was just going to say, we have to get to the assessor as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, the don't you have to worry about the route he's going to take through town, you know? I mean, your dump road is kind of a... it's not a really heavy-duty road.
But
Jeff may find himself having to do patching on that.
Actually, but if you think about it, there's trucks coming out of the
transfer
station full of refuse that have to get picked up, so it had to be spec'd for that, and the machinery company... Machinery moving company that's there.
That's some heavy stuff.
Right. Yeah. So, but if they are excavating to make the site developable per the spec that we approved, they can do that without an excavation permit.
If they
But they got a building permit for the building, right?
But they have to keep the dirt there. They can't.
No, if they have a building permit, they can take it off the site.
Right. And it's not due billable.
Okay.
Because if it's making way for the planned approved building, but if they're doing it for commercial gain, then there's tax due to the town.
Interesting.
But if the application has expired,
that's a big thing.
All
that's
of this
right
stuff
there.
Is all, everything that Kevin is saying is
mute.
Yeah, what's
mute. I think all bets are off because I don't see how we can approve that because the plan that they're trying to get an extension on is expired.
We got 3 weeks to figure it out.
Right.
2 weeks to figure it out. But yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because I agree, and but I
now's not the time.
Well, not yet. Now's not the time. I didn't want to, you know, give them any hope. You know, any comment either way, because it was like we can get a hearing, but we've got to review the regulations because we don't know. None of us here knows what's in there and what it all means because we just don't.
Right.
And as far as extension goes, I've never seen one, heard of one. I don't even know if that's possible or what the mechanism is, but now that it's expired, I think they're SOL.
I kind of do too.
But I don't know.
I don't see how you can extend something that's expired.
I don't know.
Unless they come back to you with the exact same plan and submit it as a new application, right?
Right.
And then they'd have to pay all the fees and everything again.
Well, but they wouldn't be paying as much because it's
can't,
already
they,
been approved.
They can't grandfather the engineering stuff, right?
Yeah.
I don't think.
No, they can come back with the same plan, but you'd have to go through all of it all over again, have a public hearing again.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Have
the engineer review it again.
Yeah. No question. I mean, this is another situation where...
Hate being the bad guy, but they kind of shot themselves in the foot, it looks like.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
that's why I looked at the plans of the dates.
Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I thought we did.
No.
I thought we were still discussing,
no.
So...
Oh, okay, I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.